Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Lars?
It sure is.
How is life, Lars?
Life is okay-ish. How's yours, man?
Why is life okay-ish?
Well, this year I was, I graduated from college, and I got hired at, like, my dream job, and for an art teacher, and I am non-binary, and that was something kind of private in my own life, and I dress more masculinely, I guess, and so the school district hired me, obviously, and it was going really, really well, and I taught for about 3 days, and the parents, very wealthy, it was a very wealthy school district, they basically took one look at me and decided that they weren't, or I wasn't the look that they wanted in their school district, and they found a way to get me put on administrative leave, and I was just kind of disgraced from the area and discriminated against.
I'm sorry to hear that. How long were you teaching there before that happens?
I worked there for several months, but the kids came back on a Wednesday, and by the next Monday, I was already put on leave.
What did they tell you was the reason as to why they were putting you on leave?
They actually had found my Instagram, which was not connected to my career as an educator, like, at all. And it was my art Instagram that I had when I was in art school to become an art teacher. And they basically went online, found me somehow, and then, like, it was a picture, like, 3 years ago, fourth photo into a post of a charcoal nude that I did, that, as you do in art school.
Yes.
And this new drawing that I just happened to do, it just happens to be a transgender woman. And so I drew her true to form. She had a, you know, her genitals and, like, a premature, like, breasts. And they saw this photo and they started this rumor that I was drawing minors. And so I went into HR Monday morning because they had called me in, and they said that, you know, the parents had called 911 saying that if their students were placed in my classroom, then, you know, they'd be in danger. And I was put on leave right then and there, like, no questions asked, because I was a distraction.
Now, are you pursuing a lawsuit against the school?
I'm really, really scared to. They said that I have grounds of defamation and all these things, but, like, you know, I've met with a lawyer once, and he basically told me, he was like, do you want to be a poster child? And I was like, I don't know if I can handle that, you know? All I wanted to do was teach.
Okay, so you did have a consultation with a lawyer.
I did.
Okay, and when they said to you, are you sure you want to be a poster child? What do you feel like that meant? Are you afraid of this becoming some form of local or even national news? Are you afraid? Like, what in what you know of the process of pursuing this legally would be the things that you are afraid of?
Yeah, that's definitely it. It's well, as of right now, the district has done a okay job of keeping my legal name out of it, the name I was going as a teacher, you know, and but I mean, there's still articles about this online and all these horrible things, and I just know if my name was out there, then like that would be it. And I don't even know if I could teach after that, because who wants to hire a teacher who's had their name dragged through the mud?
Yeah, sure, sure. You said that there are already articles out about this.
There is, yeah.
What?
From,
how?
Like, really?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, from like really like right leaning articles that obviously are not favoring LGBTQ lives in any sense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is in what already exists, how do these articles paint you?
Like a groomer, like a person that shouldn't be around children.
Yeah, I can totally understand why you would not want to pursue this. I mean, you're not here to get into litigations with people or get money out of people. You're here to teach.
Exactly. Exactly.
And these articles, they don't mention your real name.
Right. Right. Exactly. Or else they know that they'd be going against my leave or resignation or whatever is actually in the books. Like, they know that if they say my name, my real name, then I mean, it'd be a whole thing.
What are your friends and family telling you to do about this situation?
Oh gosh, it's so mixed. You know, if I tell someone about my situation, then they get really heated and excited, say, we need to sue, we need to take it down, like, this is awful, you can't be treated like this. And then there are people who have been, you know, sitting back on it with me saying, like, dude, like, leave, move away, try something else, or you try teaching somewhere else. Like, obviously, you know, not everywhere's gonna treat you like this. You know, I'm in a red state. Like, very red state. Yeah. And, you know, maybe if I just go somewhere else and not get my name out there, then I have a chance. But at this point, I'm scared to do anything. Like, I just don't even want to. I do want to teach still in my heart, but I'm so anxious and nervous now about everything.
In what you've kind of been weighing around in your mind between what you believe personally and what people you trust are telling you to do, what are some of the options that you've been considering as to how you want to move forward?
I think the physically easiest thing I could do is move on and move away and try to teach in a place that's more welcoming of quote unquote people like me. But the thing that would maybe help me, like, spiritually, would be to get some kind of justice out of this, even if it's like, you know, the defamation case against the parents that made up the horrible rumors, or the grandiose option of going for the whole school district, which is
sure
probably the scariest part.
Sure, sure. What can I ask? What is in looking at the option of trying to get some kind of justice, what is compelling you towards that option?
Just the fact that it still keeps me up at night. Mm-hmm. It's been months, and, you know, I am in real therapy as well, and, you know, I've tried all these things, and but I still toss and turn about it, and it's mm-hmm. not fair that people can just rip the rug out from underneath you. And again, yeah. like, this was my first job right out of school. Like, I'm young, and this was my dream. Mm-hmm. So it's just frustrating.
Could I ask if you're cool for telling me, what kinds of things has your real therapist told you about this situation, and have they been helpful for you?
Yeah, they've been really helpful. Just trying to get me through day by day at this point. When this first started happening, you know, she was obviously very concerned and saying, like, well, you know, if you go to the court, they might, like, bring me in, because, you know, the big thing with the right is that they think that people of varying genders are mentally ill, and so they would have my therapist come in and all that. And she's tried to, like, work me through some plans for that, which is even more so scaring me away from legal action, because it's like, I don't want to involve all these people in my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But other than that, she would say, like, you know, again, not everywhere is going to treat you like this. This was a special case with a really wealthy district and a really red area. And, you know, just trying to, like, tell me that there's no, like, there's still hope, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a different thing working through the trauma, I guess, even though, like, logically, I'm like, yeah, it's fine, I'll be okay. But yeah. People still hurt me.
Yeah, when you said that it's a thing that's keeping you up at night.
Yeah, exactly.
What are like, the persistent thoughts at, you know, whatever it is, 3 a.m. that you're having about this whole situation? What are the most persistent things?
I guess it's the feeling of, like, you know, I've always believed everything happens for a reason. And I've thought, like, well, maybe I got shooed away from teaching because I'm not meant to be a teacher. Or mm-hmm. maybe I got shooed away from the area because I'm not supposed to be here. Which I already moved cities to pursue this one job as is. And so to make another big move is, like, a whole nother journey.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just am trying to find a reason that this happened to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just trying to think, not, you know, stay away from, like, you know, I mean, I'm just not a good enough teacher. Because I was. They were, you know, my actual, like, admin was like, you know, you're going to be teacher of the year. You're amazing. Like, we love you. But it was just the parents that
good.
Didn't like the way that I looked.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me, let's talk about this for a second. Tell me, away from all of this, what made you want to go be a teacher?
I'm super passionate about art, and I want people to be passionate about art in their own lives, because it's through my other, you know, things that happened to me in my life, like, this has been my escape through, like, traditional media or whatever, art history. I'm a big nerd about it. And that was really exciting to me. Like, the school I taught was younger kids. And just to see them, like, kind of, like, get a concept, like, that is, like, worth a whole day of work, you know?
Good. Good. You know, I have a sort of a thought about this, which is, like, you know, kind of what you just told, like what you just told me. Of, you know, mm-hmm. remove everything and just, like, what is your passion? What do you want out of life? What is important to you? and really like let everything go and just think about that in a vacuum. And, you know, the things that you told me, I'm passionate about teaching. I'm passionate about art. I like when I get a kid to get something, you know. And I would really think about that. And then when you bring everything back in and you're thinking about how you want to move forward, do I do a lawsuit? Do I move? Do I do this? Do I do that? I would think about the answers to those questions in terms of which way forward best serves that passion. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But that's kind of the framework of how I feel like I would think about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's really enlightening, actually. Because, I mean, it gets so lost in all of that, right? Like,
yeah,
my original passion for everything gets so lost. So,
right, it gets lost. I mean, I'm sure there's feelings of, like, you know, feeling like you need to be a voice for other people or that you need to do this or... You know, I don't know. I don't know what all the sort of thoughts you might be having, but I can see how they would take you away from what the core was of why you were doing all of this in the first place. And I would hope that you really operate out of that core, because it's so easy in talking to the lawyer and talking to your friends who are getting heated to and talking to other people in the it's just so many things that are gonna take you away from the core of I'm passionate about art, I'm passionate about teaching, and I want to move forward in a direction in my life that best serves those passions. And I hope that as you're figuring all this stuff out, you're not letting yourself get too dragged away from that.
Absolutely. I really needed to hear that, Lyle. Thank you.
Good, good. And I'm sorry again that this happened to you, and I hope that you know, I hope that, like I said, you know, people being however they're going to be is not dragging you away from the passions that you have in life.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing all of this with us, Lars. I know this is a tough thing for you. Is there any other aspect of this or anything at all that you want to say to me or to the people of the computer before we go?
Unfortunately, through all this, I've learned of a lot of horror stories that have happened to young teachers. Even though our country is begging and yearning for more teachers, we're still pushing them away. And I just want to talk to other disgraced teachers and tell them, well, what you said is don't lose your passion. And there's got to be, you know, a way that we can still be in the field and do what we want to do, because they do need us at the end of the day.
Thank you very much for calling and sharing, Lars. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, Lyle.
You too.
Bye.
Wow, that was a tough one. Yeah, shout out to Lars. I'm sorry that happened to them. But they did say that thing of like that was, I think what I picked up on in when they were talking was when Lars was like, I know I'm a good teacher. I know I did a good job. I know I'm good at it. And they said that very confidently just now. And I was glad to hear that, because it, you know, through all of this, the confidence and certainty that they had in their own abilities to do the thing that they like to do appears to not have been rattled too heavily, which is great. So I hope they move forward again in the direction that best suits them. I can understand, again, the multitude of ways that, with the freaking news and the this and the that, and your friends who are telling you to do this thing, and your people who are telling you to do the other thing. I can see how you can kind of get away from yourself. And, I hope that doesn't happen to Lars, and it sounds like it won't. I think they're going to be okay. I hope. Hello?
Hello.
David, how's it going, man? What's life like?
Life is good. I'm just living, working, trying to make the best out of it. How's your life going?
Is there anything in particular that you called in to talk about?
Yeah. Man, it's kind of embarrassing, but back in the day when I was in middle school, around 12 years old, my buddies and I, probably around 7 guys, collected our pee in, so you know those like Arizona gallon jugs? Like Arizona tea gallon jugs?
Yes.
So it all started because he didn't have a bathroom in his basement, right? And one day he had to go pee. And we had this gallon jug, and he's like, I was pissing this. So we did. And then one thing led to another, and then I pissed in it. And then couple other people did, and then it got to the point where we had probably like 6 gallon jugs of of piss in his basement. And then after a few months man, when I'm saying this, like in my head, it didn't seem that bad. But as I'm talking about it, it sounds like really fucking bad. It sounds so bad. But after a few months, we dumped it off of a bridge in our hometown.
You dumped it off of a bridge?
Hello? Yeah.
Didn't
know what else to do with it.
Did it get on anyone or anything?
No, it was kind of an abandoned bridge over just a forested area, but it smelled pretty bad. That was a key factor.
How long did you guys keep the bottles before you decided to dump them?
It was a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure it was a couple months. Like, probably, like, at least 2 of them were a couple months old. Like, they got to the point where they smelled like pneumonia.
What was it that convinced you to finally dump them after 2 months?
Well, we were storing them in, like, a Rubbermaid tote. You know, and eventually the tote was full, and then we thought to ourselves, you know, maybe this tradition has gone on long enough, and we should get rid of it.
What do you feel like you learned from this situation?
That. Hive mind is a real thing, and when enough close friends or anyone that have the same goal put their heads together, they can really accomplish something pointless.
Do you feel like this has brought you closer together with your friends?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, the main people involved. We did a lot of stupid shit during that time in our lives, but we're all still friends, and sometimes we'll reminisce about the really embarrassing, stupid shit that we did, and only we really know about it, and now you know about it.
How do you feel that other people now know about this?
how do I feel about other people not knowing about it?
How do you feel about other people knowing about this?
Oh, knowing about it. Man, I mean, this is the only time I've talked about it with anyone other than my friends. Like, when I told the call screener, it just felt kind of icky coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Has talking about it given you a different perspective on it?
Yeah, it kind of... Like, I knew it was pretty weird, but now I feel like it's really weird. Like, I'm a normal guy, but, you know, like, middle school age stuff is always really weird.
But you know, I'm going to tell you... I'm going to tell you something. Because you gave us this, David, I'm gonna give you something.
All right.
I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I was involved in a Jewish youth group in high school. I was about 15 years old, and there was like a retreat at a hotel, and I once peed in a coffee cup. Wait, no, it wasn't a coffee cup. It was like a glass cup. I once peed in a glass cup and then left it on a coffee table in the lobby of the hotel.
Oh, no. Wait, where did you pee in it originally?
I think I might have taken it to the bathroom. I think I probably took it to the bathroom and peed in it and then left it on a coffee table in the middle of the hotel.
Okay, I've never seen you outside of your gecko costume, so even though you're 15, I'm still imagining you in your gecko costume.
Oh, just like as a younger gecko doing that?
Yeah, just like walking through this hotel lobby.
I feel like that might have made it worse.
Yeah. I just hope no one picked it up and thought it was their apple juice that they left.
Well,
you know?
Hoping is all you can really do.
Thanks for sharing that, though. It makes me feel slightly less downcast about what I did back in the day.
David, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
No, I just want to say I saw you in Chicago, man. That was a really awesome show.
Hell yeah. Beautiful. Ah, that's sick.
That was. I wasn't expecting that venue to be the room to be that small. It was cool.
Yeah, that was great. I loved that venue. That was super intimate. People were like right up against the stage. People really shared some shit that night. It was great. I'm loving doing those live shows. Yeah. I'll be back in Chicago next year.
Awesome. I'll see you then.
Beautiful. Thank you, David.
Thanks.
You know, listen, I feel like so many people come to me with piss stories. What kind of guy would I be if I didn't return one of my own?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What is your name?
My name is Jewel. I'm low-key very fucking shocked right now and a little excited.
Just be in the moment with me. This is it. This is right now. You're on the phone with a gecko?
This is right now. I am on a phone with a gecko.
And we need to squeeze this and make it most it possibly can be. Jules, what's going on with you today?
What is going on is I am 19 and getting married to my best friend of 21. You know, the idea of like everybody talks about or jokes about getting married to like their best friend if they don't get married by a certain age. Well, me and my friend are actually doing it. This is not a joke.
I feel like you picked a bit too young for an age. I feel like you picked a little too young.
I understand I picked too young of an age. But this is more so me and my friend after a late work shift. We're talking about how most marriages end in divorce, over half do in America. So
yeah.
Our conclusion was because everybody doesn't take a practice run at marriage before they get married for the first time. So we decided to be each other's practice run of marriage. We've applied for the license. Our wedding date is actually going to be February 3rd, 2023. So we have a 2-3-2-3 going. Neither one of our parents know.
Mm-hmm.
We bought each other rings. Mm-hmm. We did get a little bit of cold feet the couple days after we bought the marriage license. But we've decided to like fully commit and we are going to do it. So yeah.
So you are committing to a practice run?
Of marriage to my best friend.
And how is this a practice if you're actually getting married?
Well, I think it's a good practice run because we love each other. Mm-hmm. We get to practice like the actual ceremony part, the paperwork and all of that. And then being together, having to jointly file taxes and all of that is a good practice run. And then we get a practice run of divorcing when time comes to be for when we actually marry the people we want to marry.
Okay, so you are getting married. You are getting actually married.
Yes.
You are codifying it into law that you are married. Mm-hmm. You are filing your taxes together. And you are doing so with the full knowledge that you plan on getting divorced at some point.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how long do you think you'll get married? How long do you think you'll be married for before the divorce?
Well, I asked her this and she did leave me on read. And then the next day responded that, she forgot to respond back to the text, but we talked about it more in person and it was about a 10 to 11 year run we were planning on.
Mm-hmm. So you were planning on getting married with a 10-year expiration date?
Yes, with a 10-year expiration date.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. I like the idea that you put 10 years on. You put 10 years on it, and then at 10 years you go. It's almost like it's a contract. I mean, it is a contract, I think. Where at the end of 10 years, you're like, all right, should we renew or? Should we just call it quits?
Basically, and our whole thing was not even our whole thing. A lot of our friends' thing was like, how are you going to prove this if it's like taken to court? Cause, like that we're like being like doing fraud for taxes. We've known each other for 14 years, and I'd say of those 14 years, a solid 10 of those, we've been very best close friends. So we have text messages, photos, all of those types of things to like prove our quote unquote love. And also, since when does marriage say that it has to be romantic love and that it can't be platonic love? You know, me and her are very, very good platonic lovers, I feel like. So,
Jules, you're not committing fraud.
See, and that's what I was telling people, that I was not committing tax fraud. We were getting legitimately married. We are legitimately together.
Yeah, the fraud thing is not the thing that I'm interested in here. Do you have any concerns about this at all?
I do have some concerns. I'm concerned that she might just be plotting my death in the future to take all my money. And that would be like guaranteed with us being married and all of that. But she did just put me on her 401k as her beneficiary, primary one. So like that kind of killed my only really concerned.
So you could kill her for her money just as much as she could kill you for yours?
Yes.
Okay. I suppose that levels the playing field. Okay, do you have any other concerns about this?
Probably just how my parents are going to react, because me and this girl have been best friends. She actually lived with me and my parents for a little bit. But my concern is how they're going to react. I feel like they're going to be like, this is stupid, and not understand, like, that it's a good practice run, I feel like. So...
Are you concerned at all with what might happen if your relationship with your friend, takes a hit in any way, and now your finances are fully entangled with them?
Oh shit!
And that is a difficult thing to navigate.
You know what? I didn't give that any thought. I felt like me and my friend's relationship, our track record, while it hasn't been like the cleanest relationship, it's been very devoted relationship. We've fought often. We've gone a few months without talking, but we've always somehow come back around to patching things up.
Jules, tell me again what your motivation for doing this is.
My motivation to get married to my friend was to give marriage a practice round.
Can I tell you something though?
Yes.
What you're describing is not a practice. It is. You are getting married. You're not practicing getting married. You are getting married. Practicing would be pretending to get married. There's no pretending or practicing. This is, you're going out on the field and doing it. This is not a practice. If you're actually getting married, this is you getting married.
To me, it's a practice because it's to a friend. But I see your point of it not being practice because it is not pretend. It is real. So this is my real try at marriage.
Well, ideally, you're always getting married to a friend.
This is true. This should be a vital thing.
Listen, Jules, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life, but how many people have you ran this by in your life?
How many people have I ran this by? I've personally told 3 people in person, and I've like hinted towards it on my social media, but the only like real heart-to-heart conversation I've had about it was probably with the person I'm getting married to.
Okay. Again, I'm not here to burst your bubble or tell you what to do with your life. But I guess I'm having trouble seeing how this is a practice when you are just fully straight up getting married.
To me, it's a practice because it's like the friend. It's like the joke that everybody talks about, but like us actually doing it and like getting the knowledge of like the actual marriage ceremony, the divorce, the like having to file taxes is like practice with her instead of like somebody I might half-ass love.
Jules, you will always be getting married to somebody who hopefully you believe you love. This is I'm going to just tell you straight out, this is no different from you getting married. However you view it in your head, this is no different from you just getting it. And you said it yourself. You said we're actually doing it. There's no practicing here. This is you actually getting married to a person whose emotions, thoughts, feelings, and actions you do not have any control over. That's what getting married is. So, like, again, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life, but I mean, on this call right now, you've said that there were aspects that you did not think through, such as the idea that your relationship might not be beautiful and amazing forever. And I hope it is. I will say that incorporating...
Right, but there's a reality of it.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like incorporating financial aspects into this changes the dynamics of your relationship that might make it less likely for it to be amazing and beautiful forever. So, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if I've brought up some things on this call that you have not yet thought about, you should think about them.
I appreciate that advice very much, because I did think I thought everything through. Like, we were planning on getting an account together to put in money specifically for our divorce, but that whole idea of maybe our relationship not prospering like it has been does give me a thought on it.
Who said that again?
I don't think I'm going to change my mind. I do think I will talk to the person more about it, though.
Have you thought about getting a prenup?
Yes, we talked about our prenup.
And what were the conclusions of that talk?
Just more so of us like talking about if we want one or not. And then we decided we do. We haven't gotten to the like lawyer paperwork part of the prenup, but we were going to do that before the ceremony.
Okay. If I just would encourage you to not think about this as a practice, because you're doing it. A practice would not involve you going down to the courthouse and actually getting married.
Fair enough. So I'm actually getting married to my friend to actually try marriage.
You are. And you know what? You're an adult with agency over your own life, and you're free to do whatever you want with that agency. But I guess if I'm on the phone with you right now and we're talking about it, I would just encourage you to think about what you're doing as thoroughly as you possibly can before you do it.
I will put even more thought than I already have into this for you and for me and the other person.
Jules, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
Let those intrusive thoughts win, because I'm getting married because of it. Thank you. Have a great day, Jack.
You as well. Good night.
Good night.
I don't know, dude. I've said this so many times on this podcast that I hate repeating myself, but I'm not gonna tell her what to do. But I hate the idea of getting married at 19 years old. There are so many infinite other things that you could be doing to positively and productively affect your life. But then again, I don't know, man. We're all wired differently, and different things bring us happiness. So I'm not going to tell people what is going to make them happy in their life. But I do hope that Jules thinks about this, and I hopefully gets out of the idea that you know, she's in a practice, because nothing about what she described seems to be a practice to me. And I mean, look, I'm really thinking about it now. All of life is a practice, pretty much, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm thinking about the ways in which it does. Because let's say that she does get married and her finances become entangled with this other person, and she loses a bunch of money and gets totally fucked. I mean, whatever. She'll be like 21. She'll have her youth and hopefully her arms and legs. She'll be fine. I think she'll be fine is what I'm trying to say, but I hope she thinks about it.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello?
Hello?
It says here you're 22 years old from Colorado, and it says that you were born without a butthole.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was born with a lot of medical problems, one of which was a butthole. I had a lot of symmetry issues. So, like, for instance, my lungs are switched. My heart is on the opposite side of the body, and I have a fused vertebrae. But also another feature is having a no butthole. Originally, it started out as my urinary tract and my large intestines were switched. So I was making little deer poops out of my pee-pee when I was about 2 days old. So I had emergency surgery to correct that. And so I had a butthole, but it just wasn't formed yet. So I had all the tissue structures and all the good stuff for the doctors to use. And yeah, and just surgically made a butthole, but I had a butt crack.
Okay, so you had the beginnings of a butthole, but not a completed butthole.
Yeah, exactly. The pre-butthole.
And so currently, so you're talking about when you were a baby. Currently, as a 22-year-old, what is the status of your butthole?
Perfectly functional, normal. It's actually funny. I actually kind of had an accident, shat my pants a little bit the other day just climbing, but I was out all day outside climbing, rock climbing, and, you know, in the harness, so just basically forced in that position, and a little came out. But, you know, just kind of sucked it up and dealt with it, and then when I got home, just kind of cleaned up. But yeah, no, it's pretty normal now. I had a lot of issues growing up with it, but now it's, yeah, shit happens, and I'm pretty normal, as any other normal butthole user is.
So how long did it take? Around what age did your butthole arrive at some sense of normalcy?
Ooh, good question. I would say like high school, kind of late high school.
Late high school. Okay.
That's when I kind of.
So you did experience many years. I mean, I think, you know, if you were a toddler or a baby, you wouldn't have had enough consciousness to even remember what life was like without a normal butthole. But you have had in your youth conscious years where you did not have a butthole.
I had it, but I just didn't have, like, normal function. So it wasn't as strong as your butthole, per se. And so when you could, like, hold in your poop, I couldn't as well. And so it took a lot of, like, just growing up and just strength training, specifically, like, Kegels, in order to, like, strengthen that and enable me to, like, hold my poop, per se.
So, Michael, you're 13 years old. You have an abnormal butthole. How does this affect your day-to-day life?
I would say not a lot. Like, I was still a three-sport athlete. I played football, I wrestled, and I ran track and whatnot. But I'd always, like, come prepared. I'd come, like, with a bag and underwear and whatnot, just in case if anything did happen, and I would be prepared for it. But like, inevitably, you just have to like prepare for it, and then kind of like not be ashamed of yourself and just accept that, like, you know, this is who I am, and you know, I'm not there yet, but I will be, and this is just part of the process.
Interesting. So has this process of accepting yourself and your physical abnormalities been helpful to you, just as a general practice of being okay with who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, another big thing about my personality per se is I'm autistic. I have, or was diagnosed with Asperger's, even though it's not formally anymore. But that was another thing. I was just really socially awkward as younger as a kid, and just really was hard accepting like who I am, and like I have a huge scar across my stomach, so I was really ashamed of like being shirtless in front of a large crowd because I just didn't want people to ask questions about my scars and whatnot. But now I love to work out and whatnot, and I, you know, more than comfortable with like climbing with my shirt off or just going out in public without my shirt on, you know, because I have developed muscles. But it's also, it's just, it doesn't matter because it doesn't define me. I define those characters. Like for autism growing up, my parents treated me normally like they would with my other siblings. And that was probably the best thing that could have happened to me. It's just like, you know, not being treated special because of my conditions.
Have you had times, maybe by teachers or by other students growing up, where you were treated differently because you had autism?
I would say I was pretty reluctant, actually, just growing up. I had good family environment and just good friends around me. I would say that, like, I was just more unaware of, like, how they were treating me. And, like, viewing that as, like, something negative. Reflecting, I'm like, oh, wow, they're an asshole. But, like, maybe before I was like, holy shit, someone's talking to me or something like that. But I try not to view it as, like, something that they're, like, directly negative towards me. It's more of, like, a misunderstanding on their part.
I mean, so it sounds like, you know, growing up, you had to deal with a lot of physical and mental challenges. To where you are at in your life right now, what degree are these things still challenging you, if any at all?
Yeah, I would say it's I'm in college right now. I'm on my like final stretch of that, and I'm still kind of discovering myself and still trying to figure out myself. I've been living alone for about 2 years now, and I'm still learning a lot about myself, and a lot of it is, you know, not positive. Like, you know, I'm not as outgoing as I thought I was, or blah blah blah, I want more friends or something like this. It's all just stemming from my own issues, but it's like just realizing that it's my problems and it's not like other people.
Wait, can I stop you for a second? Wrong. When you say in this discovery process that you're talking about, when you say you discovered you're not as outgoing as you thought you were, what does that mean? What did that discovery look like?
It's a really good question. I would say that I mean that by like in kind of first introductions. Like if I would say I'm outgoing with people I'm comfortable with and people that I know, but like, you know, and being introduced or talking to a girl at the bar or just like a random student that I haven't met before, it's just like a lot more nerve wracking and I can't really be my true self and be as outgoing as I think I am, just because I kind of freeze up and so forth.
And is this something that you are optimistic about being able to kind of overcome in the future?
Yeah, I would say so. I like fitness as a like education because I just like failing and I like seeing progress because that's the one thing that I'm starting to realize is like failure is good, and even though it doesn't feel good in the moment, it's really good teaching point and you can become better off of it. And so that's like me becoming a better more outgoing person is just me more willing to become uncomfortable with those situations that I try to exclude myself from.
This is interesting. And I feel like you've had to do that a lot in your life, so you're kind of used to the process.
Yeah, no, I've also been, like, leaking spinal fluid. That was one of my surgeries caused me to leak spinal fluid for 18 years of my life, and that was just me getting used to being uncomfortable. And so now it's, like, a lot of the times I'm either extremely uncomfortable and not uncomfortable. And like when I am comfortable, it's a weird feeling, you know. It's like it's just like I can't sit still. I have to be doing something consistently, or I have to be putting myself in these uncomfortable situations, or else I just like I get bored and complacent.
Well, this is cool, man, because you know you still, you know, like everyone, have problems and challenges with your life. You have not solved the game of existence. But it sounds like you're sitting on a good foundation of dealing with your problems, you know, a better one than maybe you had growing up as a result of those experiences growing up. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Like everybody has adversity. It's just like kind of where that is in their life and like what areas that adversity is, and you know, kind of your character is defined by how you overcome those adversities.
But did you say at one point that you had to poop out of your penis?
Yeah, no, that's how the doctors found it out. Is they saw like I don't know if you've ever the very vivid like graphic explanation, but if you've ever skinned a deer and you take out its digestive tract, you see a bunch of like poop pellets like in the digestive tract, and they're like little pellets, and then space, it's like a snake eating these pellets per se. And so that's what my penis looked like, was like these little pellets like spaced out, and they're holy shit, this would be good.
I feel like the fact that you had to poop out of your penis at a young age, it set you, because that is like you've already done the hardest thing. So everything gets a little bit easier from there. So it kind of, you got set up nicely with that.
Absolutely. It sets the pace and gives you some perspective.
Michael, is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
I would just say, you know, whatever you're going through, keep your head up, and there's always the silver lining, and you always pop up through with enough time.
Thank you for calling, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Al. Have a good rest of your day, man.
I like that guy. He had a very interesting perspective on how he's living his life. No, he started off at like level 10 difficulty, and then everything just got a little bit easier from there. I kind of am inspired to attempt to poop out of my own penis, so that every challenge that I go through in life seems comparatively easier. But I don't know how to do that, so I will not.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.